television.
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
On the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org, man. It's RBN. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org and make a donation, like by clicking on the donate button or something like that. And this is Boomer Vision because you can go to nationalbugle.com and you can scroll down. That's how you say it, man. I dropped too much Sid at Woodstock, man. And you scroll down and you download the Koshertified app because, man, it'll blow your mind. That's all I can say. It'll blow your mind. And this is Boomer Vision because I'm a boomer and I'm having visions. All right, I've got an important topic to talk about. I want to start off with this. That's Fed posting. But before I talk, first a public service announcement.
Boy, boy, crazy boy. Get cool, boy. Got a rocket in your pocket. Keep coolie cool, boy. Don't get hot, 'cause man, you've got some high times ahead. Take it slow, and daddy-o, you can live it up and die in bed. Boy, boy, crazy boy. Stay loose, boy. Grease it, buzz it, easy does it. Turn off the juice, boy. Go, man, go, but not like a yo-yo schoolboy. Just play it cool, boy. Real cool.
Okay, so Fed posting. What is Fed posting? Fed posting is when you say things on air or you post things to comment sections on the internet, and you say things that could potentially get federal involvement. You could get the FBI or the Secret Service tracking you down about something. So, for instance, I knew somebody once upon a time who was in a group therapy session and just said something about somebody ought to kill President Clinton. This was 25 years ago. Next thing you know, everybody, all of his friends were being called up to find out if he actually had the means of carrying it out or the inclination. And so if you call into my show, if you call into Stormfront Radio, and you say things, I mean, I know we're all really upset about what's going on. We're all really frustrated. We're having our rights taken away. And then we're seeing, you know, violence against us. There's been all sorts of crime against us, and now the anti-whites are able to say all sorts of things against whites. Anti-white local government legislators, like I think in San Francisco or Seattle, are able to introduce a Karen Act, right? Could you imagine somebody introducing a Shaniqua Act that was aimed at muzzling black women? But no, a Karen Act to make somebody who reports, who calls 911 about black people criminally liable if the police come out and aren't able to follow up on a crime committed by a black. It becomes a crime on the part of the person who dialed 911. So you've got all this stuff. And so I can understand the frustration. People saying, you know, we're being genocided. It's time for us to fight back. And, well, I mean, even if you say something kind of like it's time for us to take action, if you say that in the context of we're being genocided and we got to take action, that can be construed all sorts of ways. But especially if you call up and say, you know, we got to get guns, we got to arm ourselves, we got to shoot back. You know, they're killing us. When you say things like this that can be construed in such a way, what it does is it gives the anti-white censors an opening to come in and shut down our platforms that we still have. And so, you gotta keep cool. All right? Everybody feels your frustration. Anybody who's listening to my show or any of the shows on RBN, we all feel the frustration. You don't have to call in and say that, you know, it's time for us to stand up and take action. We all feel the frustration. Don't call up and vent your frustrations in ways that can sound like they could be threats or calls to violence, because you'll get our networks shut down, you'll get our platform, our programs canceled, and you can say that censorship, daggone right, it's censorship. We got censored. We are in a very highly censored society. We have to understand that, and we have to act accordingly. Now, you know, on this show and on other shows on RBN and elsewhere, there are people who are really saying the full truth. But I'll tell you one thing. Part of the full truth is we're not shooting our way out of this. I mean, if everything breaks down, could we wind up in a Mad Max scenario? Well, I mean, it's happened in the course of human events before. But, and if you want to plan for a Mad Max scenario, you can plan on your own. But the Mad Max scenario is not a salvation for us. That's kind of a worst case scenario. We have the means through, as Dr. Dukes said on his program earlier today, through education, through educating our people. We've got the power resources. Just, this is the way I look at it. We are the adult in this situation. Sometimes you get on the street and you can see an adult, maybe two adults, maybe two parents, and there is a little whining child who's throwing a temper tantrum, and he's got the parent or parents wrapped around his finger, and he's completely manipulating them, completely having their way with the parents. That's our situation. Now, what should the parents do? Should the parents then just beat the heck out of the child? No, the parent doesn't need to beat the heck out of the child. The parent doesn't need to throw the child in a dumpster or something like that. The parent just needs to be a grown-up, and the parent has the power resources to take control of the situation without beating the child, without violence. The parent doesn't have to go buy him anything. The parent can just do what the parent needs to do. And if the parent needs to put the kid into the kid's seat and drive him home or whatever, then that's what the parent has to do. We are strong. We keep society going. We do the bulk of the work. We actually own the bulk of the assets. Even the assets that we don't control. You talk about the banks, for instance. We might not control the banks, but we own the resources. And in most cases, we probably own the banks. We own the shares. We own the shares indirectly, but we own the shares. We own the most of the financial resources. We own most of the means of production. We own most of the real estate. We are the bulk of the voters. We have all sorts of resources. And we could put those resources to good use if we simply knew what we were doing. And that gets back to Dr. Duke's point about education. He is just trying to educate us, A, as to what our situation is, B, as to who in particular is, because if we're going to stand up for ourselves and be the adult and act like an adult, we have to know, you know, we talk about, on Dr. Duke's show and on this show, we talk about Jewish power. We know that Jews are only about 2% of the American population, and, you know, the bulk of the Jews, even if they participate in Jewish power in that they help enforce taboos on the discussion of Jewish power, and they do, unwittingly for the most part, but they do. It's really the Jewish elite leadership that is calling the shots, and we have to be able to identify who these people are, who's really calling the shots, and that's what we do. And once we understand, you know, what CNN is all about, once we understand what Google is all about, once we understand what the Chase, what is it, the Chase Manhattan Bank or whatever it's called now, what these, we can go elsewhere. We have other things that we can do. You know, there's a co-certified app, and I'm always talking about that as a template. Well, it is a template because once we have enough awareness, once people understand enough about what's going on, we can bring down any company we want through a boycott. Any company we want. And although co-certified is not boycott, it's not participating in a boycott. It's not participating in a boycott against kosher certified foods. But the technology, the systems it uses are exactly the systems that are necessary for boycotts, even though co-certified itself is not a boycott. It's something that can be used just as easily by people who want to keep kosher as by people who want to avoid kosher. But it is a template for what needs to be done, whether it's going to be done by co-certified or whether it's going to be done by others. It's the type of thing we need to do. So we could bring down Google. We could bring down, you know, if we wanted Disney. We could bring down any of these companies just if we realize that we're the adults in the room, okay? Now, when you start calling into radio shows or posting on what response boards, what do they call it, like comment sections, you know, about getting guns and violence and this and that, you're really, I hate to say it over and over because I sound like a broken record, but you're doing us harm. You're working against us. That is exactly what the our anti-white opponents want us to do, because that gives us them an opening, a pretext, an excuse to come and shut down more and more of what we have, and you're making it more difficult for us. So keep it cool. That's what this is all about. And we are at a crucial juncture. We're at a crucial juncture because more and more people can actually see what's going on. A lot of what's going on, in large part thanks to the election of Donald Trump, who has been completely inept. But his election brought things to a head because decade after decade of Clintons and Bushes and Obamas and whatnot, where you were getting the steady and, for most parts, below the radar, dispossession of the United States from white people, where white people, if this had been a white country that had minorities who were, for the most part, small minorities, mainly the black minority and then much smaller other minorities up until 1965, where the minorities, if you look around the world and you see how minorities live around the world, the minorities in the United States were doing quite well. And if there were problems, if there were grievances, there were the avenues for those grievances to be addressed. But at any rate, you've had this steady dispossession of white people, not just of the country, but of their livelihoods, their careers, where you had, through affirmative action and whatnot, avenues for the next generation of whites to become doctors, to become lawyers, to become part of the elite, were just systematically shut off. That's what you've had. And it was happening gradually. It's kind of like the frog in the water, and you just turn up the water and the frog, being cold-blooded, doesn't really know what's going on. And the election of Donald Trump really came more or less out of nowhere. I can't see how he was part of anybody's plan, because what would have happened if Donald Trump hadn't come along? You could have had Hillary, you could have had Jeb Bush, or who knows, maybe, you know, Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz, or who knows. you would have had somebody who would have just, it just would have continued. You would have had more, you know, wars for our greatest ally in the whole wide world. You would have had just more open borders, immigration going on largely below the radar, because before Donald Trump came along, it wasn't nearly as high on the agenda in terms of, you know, in the public view. It just wasn't up there. And then Donald Trump came along, and even though he hasn't been able to deliver on anything really that we wanted him to deliver on, these things became issues. And in the past, you didn't have to deplatform somebody who was opposed, who spoke against immigration on the internet, because it wasn't that big of an issue. It really wasn't on the agenda, shutting down immigration. It wasn't on the agenda. And so so people could talk about it on the internet and they wouldn't get shut down. But once Donald Trump came along, once you had the President of the United States calling for a complete and total ban on immigration from Muslim countries, on you know, birthright citizenship, on building a wall on the southern border to prevent further illegal immigration, on all sorts of things. Once that got to the top of the public policy debate, then they had to shut people down. And then, of course, when you're shutting people down, people are seeing that there's all this censorship going on, and they're saying, wait a minute, I thought that we were supposed to be the land of the free, and everybody's getting censored, everybody's getting shut down. So it has brought things to a head, and so they are taking, I mean, this, the election of Donald Trump was kind of almost an accelerationist development, because although Hillary Clinton, maybe things would have proceeded as fast or even faster in terms of our dispossession under Hillary Clinton, what's happening under Donald Trump is you're still getting dispossession. You're still getting, all of these things are continuing, but with a great deal of rancor, with a great deal of attention. And it's not below the radar screen. Everything is happening and it's being talked about. And people who are opposed to immigration are racist and they're being shut down. And now you're getting these full-on black riots, which probably would they have happened under Hillary Clinton? Who knows whether we would have had black riots? Who knows? Hillary Clinton was already in 2016 saying Black Lives Matter. And in 2016, or 2015 even, when they had the debates between Hillary and Bernie and three other Democratic candidates who had announced, Lincoln, what's his name, Chafee, and Rhode Island, the governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley, and then James Webb, a former senator from Virginia who was also, I think, the Secretary of the Navy. James Webb said all lives matter and was never invited to another Democratic debate after that. So you already had that stuff going on, but would it have gotten to nationwide riots? Who knows? Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't have. But, you know, what we've seen under Donald Trump is them pulling out all the stops. You know, you've got the impeachment, you had the Mueller hoax, you've got the Ukraine, you know, that Ukraine hoax. Now you've got this shutdown. You've got so many things going on and people are seeing it. People are seeing it. And, you know, something, we don't need to have more Fed posting. We have to be careful what we talk about. And the path forward from here, the path forward is the nonviolent path, because so many people are being educated and we are the grown-ups. And just like a grown-up, we don't have to beat the heck out of that kid. We just have to take control of our own situation, which we can do. I'll be right back.
Easy action.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Welcome back to the show, dude. This is Boomer Vision on the Republic Broadcasting Network. All right, usually on Boomer Vision, I have excerpts from various shows. I'm not doing that this week. I think this kind of... A lot going on. You know, it's tax season and whatnot. Maybe I'll get to the taxes later. But Tucker Carlson tonight has emerged as the most important news show in America, in my estimation. It's got the biggest audience, and he's talking about the most important things, or at least he's talking about more important things and getting closer to the truth than anyone else. We had this situation where he had a writer, and did I mention this when I was talking about Fed boasting? No, probably I didn't. But he had a writer who was apparently one of the main writers, perhaps his main writer, who helped him with his monologues and whatnot, who for years has been, he's also, you know, been on the internet. He's been in chat rooms, and he has not Fed posted. But what he has done is he is engaged in joke telling, insensitive joke telling, where one of his jokes, this is typical, this is something they reported on in CNN to everybody's horror. He said something like, one of the things that's keeping down crime is so many young black men staying at home playing Call of Duty or whatever it is, some internet game. And it's in the delivery. And so I'm not Rodney Dangerfield or any other Jewish comedian. I'm not even a non-Jewish comedian. But so I don't deliver the jokes. But that's he said stuff like that. I think he might have used the N-word in one context or another at some point. Unfortunately, he also wasn't very careful about covering up his relationship with Tucker Carlson. And so inevitably this eventually was found out, and Tucker has had to release him. And he made a little statement towards the end of his show yesterday where he said that, you know, that those posts are not acceptable. And I think the term he used was, and, you know, the writer has faced consequences. The former writer, he made it clear that he's not writing for him anymore, that he's faced consequences. Then he immediately pivoted, and it wasn't a pivot that was in defense of this person per se, but saying that, you know, everybody else is so, what was the word he used? You know, sanctimonious. Everybody else is pretending that they're beyond reproach, and of course they're not. And Dr. Duke on his show today was pointing out, you know, Sarah Silverman. Sarah Silverman makes all sorts of really offensive jokes, saying that she would kill Christ again, and, you know, hopes that the Jews did kill Christ, should kill him again. But, you know, people are making all sorts of jokes at white people's expense all of the time. And, you know, to the same degree or worse than whatever this writer's name was. I didn't catch it, but I don't know. But I followed Tucker's show, and he has had back on his show again Gordon Chang. And this is the one thing that really gets me mad at Tucker, is when he has on Gordon Chang or others, but it's mostly Gordon Chang. And Gordon Chang, who wrote The Coming Collapse of China, which he wrote 20 years ago, and we're still waiting, Gordon, we're still waiting. It doesn't look like they're collapsing. It looks like they're doing just fine. But The Coming Collapse of China, and of course The Coming Collapse of China isn't a prediction, it's a threat. You know, that's... Gordon Chang is all about making a collapse happen. His father is some sort of Chinese, I don't know if he's an immigrant from China before it was communist. I'm sure he's some sort of anti-communist Chinese. And of course, in the United States, back in the 70s, if you said the China lobby, the China lobby was not people who were pro-communist China. The China lobby was the people who were against communist China. They were the people who were pro-nationalist China on Taiwan. And actually, this is an important issue, and this might be the day to get into it. Tucker Carlson just needs to back off. Even if he believes all of this stuff about China being such a huge threat to the United States, even if he believes it, you've got to take on one challenge at a time. You can't overload yourself. We're in an existential crisis right now, and we don't have the luxury to start something with China. All right, I'll be right back after the break, and we're going to go into some of the history.
It's just fantasy, caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy because I'm easy.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Okay, we are back. I just want to say I love doing this show. This is great, and I am very appreciative to all the good folk at RBN, starting with John Stattmiller, for affording me this opportunity. Now, day after day, producing a show day after day is a challenge. It's hard, and I'm very thankful for all the collaborators I have. I've got on Monday, Mark Collett. He's always there. I've got Wednesday, and sometimes other days, I've got Jeremy, who is just coming up so big. He is huge. And Mark Dankoff, who not only comes on with me pretty much once a week, but also maintains the NationalBugle.com website. So it's very much a collaborative effort. But, you know, I'm the person who has to hold it all together, and sometimes I have to do these boomer visions where it reminds me of when I was a professor, and sometimes I'd prepare for class. I'd, you know, have a plan, and I'd read up on everything, and then some days, maybe I, cause some days I was, you know, some semesters I was teaching four different courses, and if you're teaching four courses, you don't have more than a day, if you're lucky, for preparation, and plus, I was always doing other work, and family obligations and whatnot, and some days I just have to walk into that classroom and wing it, and anybody who has been a college student knows that sometimes their professors just walk in and wing it. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. And these Boomer Vision shows are like that. Other times, the call-in shows, if I'm taking callers, well, that's obviously live, and I walk in, and I may have a game plan, but I'm all, ultimately hoping somebody's going to call in. And people do, and I have great callers. And I really haven't had too much trouble with Fed posting on this show. But we do have to be careful about that. Then you have the boomer visions, and a lot of the boomer visions actually put a great amount of preparation into, although because it takes so much preparation, maybe it's only the first half of the show that's well prepped, and then the second half I have to kind of wing it. Well, we're in the second half of the show, but there has been something I've been wanting to get to. It's good background information, especially with all of this China stuff going on, the South China Sea and Taiwan and this and that. And China, of course, is really the oldest nation on Earth. Now, the Jews are old. They have a history. A lot of groups have a history. The Persians have a long history. But as a state, as a coherent state, the Chinese probably have the longest history as a coherent state. And they also are the largest ethnic group on the planet by far. You can talk about the Indian population catching up with China, but the Han Chinese, which are, 90% or whatever of the population of China, are a pretty coherent ethnic group genetically. If you go back 2,000 or 3,000 years, a few thousand years, you might find there's differences between North and South. I think there are different. I think even clearly, there's differences between people from the North, from the Peking area, and people from Hong Kong area. There are differences, but it's kind of a gradient as you go North and South. And they're pretty. They're linguistically. They're the Han Chinese speak various Chinese languages that are related to each other, the way Romance languages are related to each other. Does that mean somebody from Spain can understand somebody from Romania? No, they can't. But there's a lot of similarity. And somebody who speaks the Beijing dialect of Mandarin and somebody who speaks the Hong Kong dialect of Cantonese, they're not going to understand each other. Although they have this writing system, and the writing system is pretty well understood. I mean, because the characters, you have the same character usually meaning the exact same thing that might be pronounced differently in different parts of the country, in different linguistic groups. But, the syntax, the word order, the characters used are similar enough that the various Chinese written languages are pretty much mutually intelligible. Anyway, having said that, what about Taiwan? Because Taiwan is a big sticking point. If China invades Taiwan, should we go to war with China, right? So there's a lot there to unpack. One is China, would China invade Taiwan? If so, under what circumstances? And first of all, I'd have to say it's highly unlikely because Taiwan is very affluent. It's been more affluent than China for a long time, and it has a very big military. What is the history of Taiwan? We need to know that. Where is Taiwan? Taiwan is a fairly large island. It is big. It's like maybe the size of New Hampshire and Vermont put together or something like that. It's a fairly large island. Bigger than many of our small states, but it's not as big as South Carolina, which is probably the smallest state in Dixie land-wise. It's not as big as Louisiana, but it's a fairly substantial land size, and it's separated from China by the we used to call it the Formosa Straits. I guess we're calling it the Taiwan Straits now, but it's the Formosa Straits, similar to the straits separating, say, the Florida Keys from Cuba. Okay? So it's pretty close. It's pretty close. And it has a very interesting history. If you go back probably 4,000 years or 5,000 years, you go back and the people who are now Filipino, Malaysian, Indonesian, Polynesian, even Madagascar, the Malagasy people of Madagascar, that giant island off the coast of Africa, their ancestors were mostly in Taiwan some thousands of years ago. Well, what, 4,000 years ago? I don't have the exact date, but that Taiwan was not originally inhabited by Han Chinese people. It was originally inhabited by Malay people, by people like the Filipinos. And that is their ancestral homeland. There was a massive expansion out of Taiwan across the seven seas, going, reaching as far, their descendants reached as far as Easter Island on the other side of the Pacific and Madagascar on the other side of the Indian Ocean. I mean, they covered the seas. And in many cases, picked up a lot of genetics along the way. Now, I've been to the, if you go to Taiwan today, you can go to some villages, because these Malay people still make up about maybe 2% of the population. They are the Aborigines of Taiwan, and they're not Han Chinese. And they have languages. There's more than one. There are a few languages. And they are basically the ancestors of all of these people of Southeast Asia, or most of the people of Southeast Asia, island Southeast Asia. Now, when they got to the Philippines, there were people already in the Philippines. They were these tiny, they were called Negritos, who looked like dark skin. They had more delicate features than Negroes, and they're the size of pygmies, but they don't have pygmy-looking faces. There were these very early out-of-Africa people who populated these islands in peninsular Malaysia and Indonesia and the Philippines. They were very small people, and they pretty much were displaced by these Malays out of Taiwan, who went down to the Philippines and went into Indonesia and displaced people. They displaced people. But then as they started moving west, there were these, like in New Guinea, you had more robust, dark-skinned people who look very African. They were early out-of-Africa people. They were mixed also with some Neanderthal-like group called the Denisovans. Divergent group. But at any rate, as they moved along, moved into Polynesia, they mixed with some of these other groups and became larger and darker. But at any rate, those were the original people in Formosa. So when did the Han Chinese come into Taiwan? Well, there were probably traders going there. There was a certain amount of exchange going on for many, many centuries. But at the time that the Dutch arrived the Portuguese and the Dutch were, by this time, by the 1600s, 1600s, they were exploring all over this area. And the Spanish had taken over the Philippines, and the Portuguese had Macau. And the Dutch, who named this island Formosa, which is from some sort of Latin root meaning beautiful, when they got there in the early 1600s, at the same time that the British were setting up colonies in Virginia and Massachusetts, early 1600s, there was only, according to Wikipedia at least, and this jibes with sources I've seen, there's only 1,500 Chinese, Han Chinese, in Taiwan at the time. So the Taiwan settlement, the Han Chinese settlement of Taiwan, and these people, when I'm talking about the Han Chinese, I'm talking about the people who nowadays form 90 or form the vast bulk of the Taiwanese population, and their roots in Taiwan are only as old as white people's roots in North America. Okay, so it's very recent. So and they were only getting there more or less the same time as the Europeans were getting there. They were there a little earlier as traders, but they weren't established as a large population. So Taiwan, up until the 1600s, had a population that was related to the Filipinos, and in fact was ancestral to the Filipinos. And, you know, you look on a map and you see they're not all that far away. So then you had the empire, the Chinese Empire in mainland China, started pushing to colonize Taiwan, and they incorporated Taiwan. And the people who populated Taiwan from the mainland were from Fujian province. And so the language that is nowadays called Taiwanese, which is a Han Chinese language, the Taiwanese language and the Fujian language are basically the same from the other side of the straits. And so you had this period where, you know, you had kind of disputed ownership over the island between the Emperor of China and the Dutch. You had this period going from the 1600s, 1700s. But what you did have, though, during this period was the increasing Han Chinese immigration into Taiwan and taking it over. Then at the end of the 1800s, you had a war between Japan, which was had come out of its isolation. It had been knocked out of its isolation by Admiral Perry, Commodore Perry, in 1853. And then it was subjected to unequal treaties with the United States and other Western countries. But it started, it imitated Western technologies and was starting to feel some confidence. It went to war with China, took over Taiwan in 1895, and ruled Taiwan for the next 50 years. And then while it was ruling Taiwan, Taiwan developed economically, and it was actually in very good shape at the end of the war. At the end of the war, then, of course, Japan surrendered, and Chiang Kai-shek, who was the leader of nationalist China, who was in the middle of a civil war against communist China of Mao Zedong, they were allowed to take over the island. And eventually, when they got pushed out of, you know, in the next three or four years, over the next 4 years, as they were pushed out of the mainland, Taiwan became a, you know, a refuge for the government and, to a large extent, the elite population of nationalist China. And what is the official name of Taiwan today? Is it the Republic of Taiwan? No, it is not. It is the Republic of China. And so if you look at the population, the bulk of the population are Han Chinese speakers, Han Chinese people speaking the Fujian language, whose descendants arrived largely in the 1800s before the Japanese rule. So starting, you know, from the 16th to 1800s, largely in the 1800s before Japan took it over. That's the bulk of the population. The next biggest group are people who came after 1945, after World War II. They are largely Mandarin speakers, and they're from other parts of China. And they formed the political elite for a few decades. They are no longer the political elite, but they... And then the smallest group, a couple of percent, are the leftovers of this Malay group. Anyway, we only have a couple minutes before the break, but the fact of the matter is that Taiwan was not ever taken over by the mainland for two reasons after World War II. One is because it was very well armed and it was just kind of a garrison state. It has, you know, large straits separating it from the mainland. It would not be easy to invade. It would not be easy to take over. Well, there's three reasons. Then the second reason is because it was actually less of a threat for the mainland that on Taiwan, they, you know, when I went to Taiwan in the 1980s, the Taiwanese, every day you'd turn on the TV when the TV would come on, and they would show propaganda of a map of China with Taipei as the capital, and the map of China included all of mainland China, also Mongolia and parts of Pakistan and Afghanistan and other places. It was huge because the government in Taipei considered itself the government of all of China. It was never asserting independence, and so there was always a prospect for reunification. Then the other reason is over the past 30, 35 years, there's been a great deal of investment from Taiwan into mainland China, and so there's not going to be a war. It doesn't make sense for anybody. And even if there was a war between them, it's not our business. It's not worth World War III over this. Are you confused by all of this? Does it sound like something that we need to get involved in at the risk of World War III? Because I don't think so. And I hope you agree with me. And I wish Tucker would get off of this whole thing. We have got our own problems, and we really can't be bothered with this. Okay, I'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out the kosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Okay, thank you. We're back. Thank you for sticking around. All right, as I do sometimes on Boomer Visions, I am going to close off this show with a great song from none other than our good friend Engelbert Poindexter, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. That's life.
That's life.
That's what the Goyim say. Riding high in 1912,
shot down on D-Day. But I know I'm gonna change that too. When I'm back on top in June. I said
that's life,
and it seems to be the case. Antifa like to get their kicks stomping on my face. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this dreidel world, it keeps spinning around. I'm called a racist, a bigot, a hater, a Nazi, and KKK. I've been to Washington and Charlottesville, and I can say, each time I find myself punched right in my face, the Jewish judge locks me up because of my race. Well,
that's life,
you know, that's what they tell you. Porno and fentanyl, babe, that's what they sell you. And if you don't mind your P's and Q's, you're gonna find yourself in trouble with the Jews. I'm called a racist, a bigot, a hater, a Nazi, and KKK. I've been to Washington and Charlottesville, and I can say, each time I find myself punched right in my face, the Jewish judge locks me up because of my race. Well,
that's life.
You know, that's what they tell you. Porno and fentanyl, baby, that's what you sell you. And if you don't mind your P's and Q's, you're gonna find yourself in a heap of trouble with the
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.